صل على محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Today we're going to continue with the Daily Dua Tafsir series. These are actually translations of Tafsir lectures that were delivered by Ali Murtaza Zaidi in 2007. These are short duas that are recommended for the month of Ramadan. They are found in Mafatih al-Jinan. There's one that is different for each day. So inshallah, I will give you the translated presentation of dua number 8 today. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the dua for today goes as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma arzuqni fihi rahmat al-aytam wa it'am al-ta'am وإفشام السلام وصحبة الكرام بطولك يا ملجأ الآملين. So the translation is, اللهم ارزقني فيه رحمة الأيتام. O Allah, keep me alive in this month, wrapped in your compassion for the orphans. وإطعام الطعام. Keep me alive to provide meals, to feed. And let me show forth myself as a true Muslim by inviting others to Islam through giving them salam. Let me move in the company of the noble-minded persons through thy power, O ultimate resting place of those who long for safety. So there's quite a few elements that are discussed in this dua. Now, this dua encompasses some of the most beautiful elements of our society. Like the first line says, O Allah, keep me alive in this month to feel compassion for the orphans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated a law almost, and in His laws we find many commandments that have to do with those who are powerful, those who have who are fortunate enough to have wealth or any kind of power in this world, to help those who are not as fortunate in this world. So in this case, since the person considered here is an orphan, somebody who's deprived of parenthood, who never had parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us through various commandments in the Quran and through the Ahlul Bayt to help these orphans, to feel compassion for them. So therefore, taking care of an orphan is a foundational responsibility of a Muslim or those who follow Islam. Now the truth of the matter is that a person who treats an orphan with compassion is doing that only for the sake of Allah. If he shows compassion to an orphan, he's doing it for the sake of Allah. Now we ask why that is. Because whenever we do something for somebody who's more powerful than us, somebody who possesses something that we will gain from them by doing a good act for them, by feeling compassion for them, they have something they can give us in return. Now an orphan is a person who is deprived. He lacks parents, or he doesn't have parents. His parents might have passed away, or whatever the case may be. So by giving them compassion, you're not asking for anything in return from them. So that's why Allah wants us to do this. And so the first thing we mentioned was, Allahumma rizukni fihi rahmat al-aytam. Now, we have many traditions regarding this matter, especially from the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. For example, we find that if a person, for the sake of the pleasure of Allah, strokes his hand over an orphan child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him blessings and good actions in his life, in his this life, according to the number of hairs that have passed through his hand when he struck the child on his head. It's possible that this could be a symbolic way, but nonetheless, it emphasizes the numerous rewards there are in stroking of the child, the head of an orphan child. But nonetheless, you know, at the end of the day, you're treating him with compassion for the sake of Allah. Now, treating an orphan with compassion doesn't necessarily just mean helping them in financial matters, just giving them wealth. Compassion here means making sure that our interaction with them is filled with kindness, compassion, and to show love with them in any kind of interaction we have with them. Always think good of them. All these things fall under the umbrella of compassion for the orphans. So we're asking Allah in the first line to do that, to assist us, to keep us alive, to show compassion to the orphans. Now the next one is wa'it'am al-ta'am, and so that I may feed people who need to be fed. Now, one it'am that we know is feeding people by just inviting them to our house. And this is indeed, of course, this is also a form of it'am. It'am, we are feeding them. And there is rewards for this. But this is not the complete and due right for feeding. The true essence of feeding people lies when we feed those who are indeed in like dire need of our help. Those who lack food, those who do not have food, those who are impoverished in this world. It's true that many people would say, in our area, you know, we don't have too many homeless people, we don't have too many hungry people. But that doesn't stop us from going beyond our comfort zone and making sure there are others out there who need to be fed. There are plenty, nobody can say with conviction that there is no hunger, no more hunger left in our society, in our community. I mean, we're living in the city of Atlanta, there is vast numbers of homeless people or people who are hungry and impoverished and do not have food when they go to sleep at night. So these acts are not just limited to, you know. Now, when we say feeding the hungry, and when we say stroking the head of an orphan, all these things are there, but these are not just limited to that one action. They encompass, you know, taking care or helping the needy in any way, shape, or form. Helping the orphan in any way, shape, or form. Not just giving them money or stroking their head. Not just giving a person food. It goes beyond that. All our interactions with them should have that compassion that I mentioned earlier. Now, so let's be aware that let's be aware that those who are deprived, those who are hungry, let's make sure we increase our interaction with them. Helping them is one thing, but also increasing our interaction with them. It happens that, you know, unfortunately the world is so disconnected that the person who has any kind of wealth or health in this world is not aware of the condition of the one who is a have-not in this world. And likewise, those who are have-nots have no awareness of the difficulties that a person who has goes through. So by increasing our awareness of each other, hopefully this will bridge that gap. And wherever we are, be we in the have-nots or in the haves, nonetheless, we should work towards increasing that awareness between us. It'am has been mentioned in the Quran numerous times as well. For example, in Surah Al-Insan, we find the verse talks about the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Salam ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It says, وَيَتْعَمُونَ لِلْتَعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They give food for the love of Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the needy, the orphan, and the prisoner. And this is the family who does that. And the family is the family of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they give especially to those people in society who have nothing to give you in return. A prisoner who just got out of prison, an orphan, a needy person. These people do not have any material things they can give you in return. And further, this surah stipulates how the Ahlul Bayt deal with such situations. The next line is says, لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. And they say, we feed you only for the sake of Allah. We do not want any reward from you, and nor any thanks. So this emphasizes that whenever we do these things, whenever we do feed the hungry, don't make it first, you know, just solely for the sake of, oh, it's our social responsibility, which is good. Oh, you know, they deserve it. But rather do it for the sake of Allah, just like the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam did. The next one is, وَإِفْشَاءَ السَّلَامُ, to give peace to people. I mentioned earlier that there's variances in the translation, but the best translation is to give peace to people. Now, one of the beautiful things of the religion of Islam is it brings people's hearts closer to each other. And we do this through, now let's bring it down to a notch and just say, just our salam that we do before our conversation with people. Whenever we greet people, we do salam, and we do this with our hearts. We're supposed to do this with our hearts. We give peace to them. When we say salamu alaikum, let's make sure from now on, whenever we do say it, we wish it with our full heart that whoever you're saying salam to feels like you have given them a gift on that day. That you truly have brought peace upon their hearts. There should be so much power in their salam, in our salam, that there should be so much sincerity. And let's make sure that whenever we do wish somebody salam, that we're sincerely saying it from the heart, that we are giving them this dua, we're giving them this supplication, we're wishing upon them that they really do have peace. And we shouldn't, you know, let's try to refrain from making this a conventional ritual that we always say, you know, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. You kind of have to say it. But let's make sure, of course, it is a ritual nonetheless, but make sure let's make this a ritual that comes with understanding, comes with awareness of what it really means. You know, in Islam, of course, there is a lot of emphasis on saying salam. It has been said that most of the reward, whenever you are saying salam, most of the reward, I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are, but 69 rewards for the person who initiates it and one for the one who says, you know, responds to it. Because it brings in a person a sign of humbleness, you know, and humbleness is a great characteristic to have in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing that we ask in the dua, first we mentioned the feeling compassion for the orphans. Second, we mentioned feeding people. Third, we mentioned giving peace to people. And fourth is وَصُحْبَةَ الْكِرَامِ. And keep me alive that I move amongst the noble-minded people. People who have noble characteristics in this world. Now, a noble-minded person is one who has a really strong inclination. He has a really strong inclination towards doing good things. He is dignified in what he does. He has integrity. For somebody who wasn't noble or dignified, if he is asked to do something, he does it as if it's a burden on him. There's laziness that suffices in him. Whenever Allah is, especially when it comes to matters of religion, when Allah is asking them to do something, they consider it a burden upon themselves. Now, a noble-minded person, on the other hand, is one who doesn't act thinking and knowing that it's good for him. He considers it rather as an honor for him, like the Urdu word sharaf. You know, he thinks doing that act is an honor for him. Now, an example of this is when Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the Battle of Karbala, when he had his loyal companions, when they charged onto the field, they did so very ferociously. You know, they had a lot of vigor when they went on there. And he said to them, "Isbiru ashab al kiram, be patient, Kareem, or just the most dignified, most noble of my companions." So he's describing those who possess noble characteristics. He tells them to be patient. Imam Ali alayhi salam says in regards to this that if you move amongst or sit with weak-minded people who do not possess that nobility, they will make you like them. Cowards. If you sit with the coward, when the time comes, he will be a coward on you. Like when you really need him, he won't be there for you. When you sit with a miser, he'll make you selfish. These characteristics come into us by just us mingling and interacting with them. The word that the speaker used was hamnashini. If you're hamnashin with these people, you start possessing the characteristics of those people, and they really don't benefit you that much. And especially when it comes to the friends that we that our children have, this is things that we should keep in mind whenever we're when we are parents, and inshallah those who are not when they do become parents, that they're able to be mindful of who and what kind of people their kids interact with. Now keep in mind that I'm not just talking about sitting with Muslim Shias. I'm not saying that. I'm saying people who possess great characteristics, just noble characteristics in and of themselves. And unfortunately, in today's time, it's one of the biggest challenges to find people who have strong character and ideology. Now, what does it mean to sit with them? We have to be very cautious about this, because sometimes we get into the condition where we sit with the wrong people and we're proud of it. We sit with those people whose character, whose actions, whose ethics are completely contradictory to what we hold and what we esteem in our lives. So let's make sure that whoever we mingle with, whoever we interact with, possess those great characteristics. The dua here is asking for that. It says وَصُحْبَةَ الْكِرَامِ, you know, اللَّهُمَّ ارْزُقْنِي فِيهِ, and the rest of the things, and it says صُحْبَةَ الْكِرَامِ بِطَوْلِكَ يَا مَلْجَأَ الْآمِلِينَ, with your power, oh, the ultimate resting place of those who long for your safety. And this is referring here to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever in this world we talk about getting to a point of success or getting into a point of perfection, the true epitome of perfection, the true epitome of success lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world, we can, whoever attaches themselves as thinking the end goal is here in this world, will stay limited to that. Unless they attach themselves to something that is so absolute and ultimate that whatever beauty they find will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the last thing we ask. Allahumma rizqni fihi rahmat al-aytam wa it'am al-ta'am wa isham al-salam wa suhbat al-kiram bi tawlika ya malja al-amilin. بحق محمد وآل محمد ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت الكريم الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.